Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, welcome. Great to have you with us. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. You can go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, key routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. And let's not forget about the Hilscher's General Store hotline, powered by Hilscher's General Store, located 7 miles south of Sealands Grove, routes 11 and 15. Go to www.hilscherstore.com. I'm actually going to be in studio tomorrow with Kev.
I'm looking forward to it, kind of.
A little kumbaya moment.
It will be.
Yeah. Yes, I'm going to be there, believe it or not.
What's that?
I'm actually going to be there.
Yeah, I know.
Wreaking havoc.
This will be great because this will be an opportunity for you in person to just be the fun sucker.
Look, just because I actually look at it realistically and I don't go into the, not in the speculative Fantasyland world, I mean, I'm sorry. The rides aren't open to Fantasyland. I mean, who's going to win the Masters? I don't know. It's one thing that makes sports fun. You don't know. I mean, the Baltimore Ravens in September looked like Super Bowl champions. They lost 4 of their last 5 games. I thought they'd get through the first round, but not the second. But they won the whole thing. It's who's hot at the right moment. Pleased to be joined by someone who is going to be now the voice of reason on this show is Dave Paulson. Dave, welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Well, thanks, Steve. And it's not hard to be the voice of reason on your show. I mean,
you said it.
Anyone who appears is going to be the voice of reason. I figured that much out.
Listen, I'm telling you, be careful, Dave, because the fun sucker's here, and he's going to suck all the fun out of everything for you. So just want you to be careful.
All right. I appreciate that, Kevin.
Just because I'm realistic and won't speculate on seating, Dave, I think I'm the one that's right because I know how big Wednesday is. As opposed
absolutely.
To somebody else.
Absolutely. That's a good thing I just got on the call because I'd have to become across the desk at Kevin where, you know, I'm not.
That's just,
everyone in my office and everyone in my family is not allowed to look at Joe Lenardi or anything like that.
Good.
The only Joe they're looking at is Sloppy Joe's for dinner. That's it.
Very much. Saturday is a good reason why. Where a step at a time in this thing and survive in advance is important. Is that a way to look at it? I thought Saturday was a perfect example of survive in advance.
Well, it is. I mean, and I was really worried about Army coming in because they were playing exceptionally well. When we beat Army on the road, you know, I walked out of that green. I'm like, that was a great win. I don't want to see those guys again. They're really, really, really hard to guard. You get this far in your conference tournament, you know, every team's a quality team, and they're playing with a lot of confidence. And that's certainly going to be the case with Lafayette, which has won, I don't even know how many in a row. They've won 7 or 8 or 9 games in a row, playing at a real high level. And, you know, we're going to have to play really well.
No question about that. Now, your defense has been your staple from day one. Army was able to get 70 in the game on you, but then again, Army's a very offensive-minded team. Still, there was that once. What did your team in that spurt show you that was championship metal at that moment?
Well, you're right. I mean, Army's really hard to guard, and they are a high-possession team. So it was our field goal numbers. We held them under 40% from the floor and under 30% from the three-point line. So in many of the barometers of good defense, we played it. Now, we put them on the foul line too much, and that really hurt us. But when it really came down to gut check time and they took the lead, we responded with some winning plays, some tough hoops, 3 or 4 defensive stops in a row, made free throws. And the other thing is we were pressed for 40 minutes. We turned the ball over 3 times. So you know, if you do those types of things, you're going to have a chance. So I thought the vast majority of the game, I thought we played very well against a high-quality opponent. We were good at challenge, and we're going to, you know, we're going to need to do more of the same for 40 minutes on Wednesday night.
Yeah, no question about that. And again, you're able. What was 12-1 run or something like that? That was where you finally got a little bit of breathing room.
Yeah, we did. I mean, they came down. They hit a three. They hit a basket to go up one, and then Bryson Johnson, or to go up two, I think. And then Bryson Johnson hit a three. We got a stop. We got a transition basket by Cameron Ayers. And then we got another stop. We got the ball inside to Mike, and he got fouled. He made two free throws. And, you know, we just, you know, that gave us a little separation there down the stretch.
You mentioned Mike, that being, of course, Mike Muscala. If I were to mention Tom Gola, Oscar Robertson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Lou Alcindor back then, Larry Bird, Ralph Sampson, Bill Bradley, Rick Barry, Patrick Ewing, Wayman Tisdale, Mike Muscala, what do they all have in common? They're all 2,000-point, 1,000-rebound guys. And this is an exclusive group of people who do this. When you hear that and the list that Mike's on, I know you appreciate it because you're there every day with the guy. But how much do the fans appreciate what they actually have been watching for 4 years?
Well, I think the fans appreciate it. You know, I think they do. I think you spoiled them. I think you spoiled us. And, you know, it's when it's taken away from us that we'll really, really appreciate him, you know, because I think when you see excellence day in, day out, it's hard to fathom. And that's the thing. I mean, Mike's had some big monster games, but his career high is 33 points. You know, he hasn't scored 30 points in a game this year. So he's not a guy who's getting 50 one night. He's a guy who's getting 22 points and 15 rebounds and four block shots on a nightly basis, day in, day out, getting double-teamed, triple-teamed, held, grabbed. I mean, if you could see clips of what teams do to him where it's not called, it is outrageous. And he has had remarkable poise in the midst of all this holding and grabbing and shoving that goes uncalled by the officials.
And that's the tough part. They need to clean up post play in this game, don't they, Dave?
Well, you know, they do. And you know, every year we get a directive from the head of officiating and a video, and point of emphasis is to clean up low post play. And we go to extreme in that regard because I don't want there to be any chance for Mike to get called for stupid physical fouls that's going to put him on the bench. You know, many of our rivals who don't have it, that skilled a guy, they'll say, well, we'll just foul him every time and dare the officials to call it, and they're not going to do it. And it's the same thing with, you know, that we were pressed and hand checked for 40 minutes. They call two or three, and then you know, they look at the scoreboard, and it's a 7-1 differential, and the other coach complains, and then they stop calling it. So it's hard. It's certainly a hard sport to officiate, but when you have you know, as I told the head of officials, in the NBA, if you got the best player, he gets star treatment. He gets sent to the line when there's probably not even a touch. I feel like we're being penalized often by having the best player in the league.
Lafayette's a team that has three players that are averaging double figures, Dave, and another one that's averaging 9.5 a game. How difficult is the balance for Lafayette that they bring to the table for any team to defend?
Well, they're really, you know, they put four guards on the floor. They shoot the three exceptionally well. They make about eight threes in a game, and they're about 16th in the country in percentage of points they get from the three. So they put those guys out there, and they have a dynamic electric point guard in Tony Johnson. So he's far and away the best point guard in the conference. And he's been averaging over the last 8 or 9 games like 22 points a game and 7 or 8 assists a game. He's shooting about 70%. And then he's got those 3-point shooters to kick it to, including their 4-men and their 5-men. So they're very unconventional in how you have to guard them. And if they get in a rhythm, you know, they're really tough to beat. Now, at home, when we played them at home, we held them 1-for-16 from the three. On the road, you know, they got some open looks, but obviously they make some more. You know, so hopefully we're a little bit better defensively than we were a month ago in Easton, and hopefully they're a little bit worse than what they were
right,
in that
yeah.
night.
Yeah, literally 40% of their shot attempts are three-point shots. They are a volume three-point shooting team. So when you face a volume three-point shooting team that loves the arc, does that change subtly what you do with a team that loves the arc?
Well, you know what? We've really changed, you know, throughout the Patriot League season. It's really funny. We've had to play two different styles. In our non-league competition, we're playing the high major teams that were much more athletic than us, maybe weren't as skilled. You know, we would pack people in the paint, and we would really at all costs try to stop dribble penetration, and we might surrender some threes to keep people in front of us. And then once we got to league play, where virtually the entire league is four guards, we played really locked in tight on three-point shooters. And our three-point field goal defense has really, really improved. And that's what we have to do. But it means a guy like Joe Willman is chasing the guard around.
Yeah. Finally for you, Dave, and then I'll let you go because I know it's a big week for you. It is also a week where it is spring break at Bucknell. So how have you handled when you practice and how long you want to practice and how much tape time you have because of the time you have with them?
You know what? We haven't changed anything. You know, at this point in the year, I always believe less is more.
Right.
You know, the one night, you know, we practice, this time of year we're practicing an hour and 15 minutes, and we're getting free throws yeah. up. And we have our same ritual of how much tape we watch before every game. We're not going to deviate from that. You know, at this point, the nice thing is we can practice at 1 in the afternoon and the guys can leave the gym and it's daylight and it's sunny out and it's warm. And so I think that alone is good. And,
yeah.
and you know, it does give us a chance for certain guys maybe to get in there and just get some shots up and they don't have to worry about their classes or exams or writing a paper.
Yeah, and I think the primary part of the question was not the time you spend. It was more that you could practice them at 1 in the afternoon. In other words, you don't have to practice them after classes or things like that.
Right.
Because you have to get on at this time of the year. You need your legs, and they know what's going on.
Yeah. Well, there's no question about it. They know what's going on, and we need your legs. And you know, there's an old adage, are you ready or are you fresh? And I'd rather be fresh than ready. You know, in that regard, like 10 more minutes guarding Lafayette stuff or making sure Mike Muscala's legs feel good and he can knock down a jump shot, I'm going to rest
right.
Mike Muscala.
You got that right. 7:30 Wednesday night, right to go play turn. Dave, best of luck. Absolute pleasure as always having you on the show.
All right. Thank you, Steve.
All right. Thanks. Dave Paulson, head basketball coach at Bucknell. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back. We looked at Kevin's bracket. Kevin has 116 teams in the tournament.
It's a really big bracket. I like to really have a playoff when I have a playoff.
You and Dookie V. I'm telling you, they're number one seed. Dick, that's the eighth team you've mentioned as a number one seed. They're all number ones.
I got five different brackets.
How about Jay Billis the other night? How about that?
Yeah.
I mean, with Dick?
Yeah.
Subtly correcting him on the air?
I did not see it, nor did I hear it, but I heard about it.
Ooh.
I thought, wow.
I mean, no. I mean, this is the unfortunate part, okay? Jay was right.
Oh, I understand. Okay? I understand.
I mean, he didn't do anything wrong, but I think he felt like there was an integrity issue at stake. Never admit it. I'm not saying Jay Billis did anything wrong, but it was kind of like, that's not, no.
Yeah, I had heard about it, and I didn't actually see it. I just thought it was interesting that there was a correction on air.
Yeah.
Well, it's never a problem on this program because I get corrected on a regular basis, and I'm fine with it.
Well, that's just from Barty and Lawrence. I would never correct you on that.
No, not you. Not you. Of course not.
You just admitted off the air I was right.
I did not. I didn't say at any time that you were wrong, even on the air. I said, I understand what you're saying. I was just saying I thought it was an interesting thought that if it actually comes to fruition, would be entertaining.
You can't think that way. You can't.
I mean, I think it would be interesting if the Steelers and Ravens played for the AFC Championship, too.
Look, okay, they're seeded 1 through 68, all right? You don't know, based on how the weekend's going, how the week goes, as to who's where.
No, you're absolutely right.
You just don't know.
The question I have to ask, though, is how does a guy like Lunardi, who's done this so many times and had very few wrong, how in the world do you do that?
Because he puts a lot of time and research into it. I mean, a lot of time and research. He tries to go through the same factors that the committee goes through so he can then determine, you know, where teams are going to be. There's certain teams, for example, they're pretty much, when you're talking about the automatic bid, one bid conference teams, you can kind of have a pretty good feel as to about where they're going to be. Okay. All right. Now you start getting into, here comes some tough ones. Let's take, for example, Memphis. Memphis is a really good team. They can beat anybody in the upper bracket, but they're probably going to be an 8 or a 9. They're absolutely in the tournament. Okay? They may be an 8 if they win their conference championship. They may be a 9 if they end up not winning their conference tournament. Okay? That's where they are. All right? Now let's take, for example, Illinois. Okay? A lot of people say that Indiana and Gonzaga are both number one seeds, correct?
Okay. Okay. That's probably safe.
Illinois might be an 8 or a 9. Do you know what Indiana and Gonzaga both have in common?
What?
Illinois beat both of them. So it was an 8 or a 9 if they're matched up in their bracket, you have a team saying, we've already beaten you. We know how to play you. Dick and Milton, hi Dick.
Hey, I just wanted to tell you, I know you're probably running into a time frame here, aren't we?
Yeah, well, go ahead, Dick. We have time for you.
Oh, yeah. Well, I just wanted to tell you, I'm just coming back from Champaign-Urbana at the Big Ten Wrestling Championships, and I didn't know if you covered much about it, but how well the Nittany Lions did with 4 champions, and they really wrestled very well.
They got 10 to the NCAAs. I mean, the Big Ten Wrestling Championship is now, it's a great championship and the whole thing, but the key is to get 10 guys through. They got 10 guys through.
Yeah, it was excellent.
The seedings of the 4 guys that won it will be now enhanced by winning it. Thus, there'll be 1s or 2s, most likely 1s. I mean, let's face it, Ruth will be a 1. What, Taylor will probably be a 2 seed. Wright will probably be a 2 seed. You know, and that's the important part out of all that. But they got 10 guys through, and that's big.
Yeah, it was excellent. It really was. It was a good trip, and Penn State could be really proud of the way the kids wrestled out there. They did very, very well.
Dick,
I caught your interview with Coach Paulson, and it's probably nobody that's a bigger Bucknell and a Penn State combination fan than I am. I mean, it's almost frightening how much time I spend following both of them and everything. So,
Dick, I have to ask you a quick question.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Steve. I have to ask you a quick question. I mentioned this earlier. It amazes me every time how much quicker Ruth is than so many of the guys at his weight class. I mean, how does it show?
Amazing.
How does it show in person? I mean, I've only seen him on TV. How does it look in person?
In person?
Oh my God. He's excellent. He's really quick. He's very fast for a 184-pounder. I don't want to tell you why it is. He just, it's just, I'll call it a freak of nature and let it go at that.
I agree with that, Dick. Yep.
Because you don't see many kids like that speed. The only thing that caught him yesterday with the Steinhaus is just his kid's a little bit taller and very, very strong and a very skilled wrestler. And it gave him a little bit of fits because he couldn't get his reach in like he likes to do and make his Gumby, I'll call him Gumby moves.
When he hit the splat, basically, on the single leg shot, I mean, that was just so fast. That you could, I had to run it back in slow motion on my TiVo just to make sure I could see it right. I mean, that's how quick he hit him for the near fall points.
Yeah, he's just so, it's incredible how quick he really is for a kid that big. You know, you rarely see that combination of strength and speed in a kid of that size. You know,
he is a great athlete who's a wrestler. And has really developed technically as a wrestler as time has gone on. Now he's a wrestler with those two factors.
Yeah, and the only other comment I was going to make is how, and look, I know nothing to detract away from Iowa, but how much politer the Penn State kids were in even winning and losing than some of the other kids were from, especially Iowa. It's unbelievable, you know?
Well, you know what? I'll be honest with you, Dick. The Penn State kids are far more adept at dealing with fans and media, because when you become the show, which Penn State is now in wrestling, you're the show, you have to be that way. You have to know who you are, and young people relate to you and relate. And the Penn State kids get it because they become the sport. They draw the biggest crowds, they draw the most media attention, they draw the most youth attention. And because of that, I think they understand how to deal with it.
Well, they do. They did a nice job. You know, I mean, obviously, they've got probably the best coach right now in college wrestling. But the kids are very humble, and they're well schooled. They're polite kids. Mm-hmm. That's what I like to see. Even the losing, they're pretty polite. You don't see a lot of the antics through them that you do in some of the other kids. You know. Nobody likes to lose. No. Don't misunderstand me at that level. But boy, I'll tell you, they take everything, winning and losing, with really kind of a humility. I like it.
Yeah, a lot of grace. A lot of grace.
Okay, let you go.
Dick, thank you. Great comments. News next. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. News coming up.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Kevin has the seating all set, and now is everybody in Lewisburg nervous?
Or excited, depending on your perspective.
I then take a realistic point of view, and I'm told that I'm sucking all the... Just because I understand winning and losing means something... I'm told I suck the life out of the room.
Your nickname is Hoover.
Well, I'd rather be Hoover than be... and be realistic. You know, what's happening on Wednesday night, all kidding aside... is that this is one of the great things about college basketball. We just had a conversation about college football. These guys just won Big Ten championships. All right, now that basically they've set their seeding up for NCAAs by winning the Big Tens. But one of the problems with the Big Tens, for example, is 72 guys make the NCAAs. You know what was the old ACC basketball tournament? The ACC basketball tournament, you want to know why it was basketball's version of life and death? When they first started that tournament, only the winner got in. That's the current Patriot League tournament.
That's the way all tournaments should be.
No, it should
not
be.
I know you're going to disagree.
You are dead wrong. You are dead wrong about that, okay?
I know you're going to disagree. No,
I mean, why bother having an NCAA?
That is the drawback of it. You're right.
There are 347 schools that play Division I basketball. Only 68 of the 347 get to be in the tournament. Okay, 68 of 347. So only one-fifth teams in college basketball, one-fifth, 20% get to be in the NCAAs. 68 looks like a big number until you see the 347. Okay? 16 out of 30 NBA teams make it. 16 out of 30 NHL teams make the Stanley Cup playoffs. Now we have 10 out of 30 one-third baseball teams making it. And 12 out of 32 make the NFL playoffs.
Okay, then right. Do away with the tournament and make the winner of the leagues be your entry.
Well, conference tournaments are...
They're
first
fun.
Of all, if the conference... They're more than fun, though. It's the Big Ten changed as a conference their competitiveness in the NCAA tournament when they went to the Big Ten tournament. It used to be, in the first few years, Penn State was in the league. 93, 94, 95, 96, 97. There was a regular season, and the regular season ended. And then you went to the NCAAs if you were good enough or the NIT. Penn State 95 went to the NIT, 96 went to the NCAAs. All right. But you went from that in, and to be honest with you, you went in a little flat. Okay? The Big Ten except for Michigan, and now we found out how they got there with the Fab Five, they were the only Final Four participants in Penn State's first year in the Big Ten. Do you realize that?
No, I did not realize that.
Okay, the Fab Five the 1 year, first year. Penn State wasn't in the conference that year. Okay, I'm trying to think. Were they? Yeah. All right. Because the Fab Five was together 2 years, right? 2 years. In the third year, there was four of them left. Weber left after being a sophomore. All right. So only one time in those 5 years that the Big Ten have a Final Four participant. Do you realize since the Big Ten went to a conference tournament, they've had five different schools make the Final Four a total of, 10 times? 11 times. Ohio State's gone twice. 1, 2, 3. No, Ohio State's gone. 1, 2, 3. Ohio State's gone three times. My apologies. Three times Ohio State has gone to the Final Four. Michigan State's gone six times to the Final Four. Wisconsin's gone once. Indiana's gone once. Illinois has gone once. Five different schools have made the Final Four since they've gone to the conference tournament. A total of 12 times. 6, 3, yep, 9, 10, 11, 12. Okay, 12 times in that span, the Big Ten has had a Final Four team. In the 5 years before they started the tournament, Penn State's first 5 years in the conference, won. And that was the Fab Five.
Okay, you make a good point here, but defend this one then. You have a team like, what is it, Liberty, that had just won, Big South. They just won the Big South tournament. They are 15-20. And going to the NCAA tournament with a chance, with a very slim chance, I understand, but a chance to win the national championship.
Okay, what is Liberty's record since the ninth game on?
Since the ninth game on? Let's see, they won the last five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, so let's go to the ninth game. You want me to go to the ninth game? I don't know. I have to look it up. I'm not that smart.
They're 15 and 12. They're 15 and 12. I already know that.
See, I figured you already knew, and you were just teasing.
They started out the season 0-8 against non-conference teams.
Right. Did not win until December 4th.
Right. They started out 0-8. They're 15 and 12 since. So you got to go inside the numbers a little bit. This is not the last place team in the Big South, right?
No. They were not the number one, number two seed. I think they were the four. Were they a four?
Yeah, they're the four seed. Okay, so once they get the conference play, you know, this 15 and 20, it's not, I mean, is that their record?
They were 6-10 in the conference.
Yep, 6-10 in the league. You know?
I'm sorry. I don't mean any disrespect to Liberty. I mean, I'm sure they played great in the tournament. They had a great end of the season. There's no denying that. But they were 6-10 in the conference, 15-20 overall. They shouldn't be going to a national championship tournament.
What conference tournaments do is that they take away the argument that everybody should be in the tournament. How often have we heard they should just open the tournament to everybody and just go? Right?
Yeah, I've heard that before. That'd be crazy.
But conference tournaments already do that. Everybody enters the conference tournament, and they're all playoff games. Navy may have been the last seeded team in the Patriot, but if they won three straight games, they would have represented the Patriot in the NCAA.
But doesn't
so essentially that's... this is like having everybody in the tournament. That's what it does. It actually essentially puts everybody in.
But doesn't that support the theory of everybody loves the underdog and that's why it's happening?
Everybody
loves the underdog, so that's why we do these tournaments, because you know somebody's going to come out of there that's not the number one seed. Actually, I don't even think they were the four seed, but that's beside the point. That wasn't the number one seed, and all of a sudden win the tournament and then become a Cinderella, because we all like that in the tournament. You can't tell me there's anybody that watches college basketball that doesn't like when a Cinderella comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, except
unless you're playing them.
Right, but Cinderella's all in perception. Now, Liberty certainly would fall into that. There are very few of them anymore.
And is that because of the parity in college basketball?
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd agree with that. I'd agree with that.
I think for a one seed, usually for a one seed, you're pretty good. After the first round is over with, a one seed is in trouble. Okay, they all are. Everybody's in trouble. They become almost all 50-50 games after day one for everybody. Now, for one seeds, it's not a 50-50 game, and maybe not for two seeds. But once you get to those 3-14, 4-13 games, they're almost 50-50 games now. And you get to the next round, the worst team that one seed's going to face is an 8 or a 9. And guess what? All the 8s and 9s can beat the 1s. Every one of them.
No, I'd agree with that.
Illinois is going to be an 8 or a 9. Guess what? They've already beaten Indiana and Gonzaga.
Where do you feel is the... Where's the cutoff now? I mean, about 11?
As a seed?
Yeah.
That can win it?
Yeah, a legitimate cutoff.
11. I think 11's a legitimate one that can win it. 10 can win it. But you have to find a streak that, you know, matchups have to be right and so forth. Style has to be right. I mean, Virginia Commonwealth, okay? They play Havoc, right? Well, people 2 years ago were like, I don't know, if we don't face this. And now you get a little better handle on it.
After you get through a little bit, the surprise is gone.
Right.
It's like pitcher. Okay. It's like a rookie pitcher in baseball. The first year, he may be a phenom and look amazing, but everybody figures out his stuff.
Right. Then there's my man, Tom Crean. What the heck is he thinking about? I mean, after the game... Okay, Jeff Myers, one of the assistant coaches for Michigan. Okay. who used to be on the staff of Kelvin Sampson. Okay, it's a professional misunderstanding. Okay, Crean can be heard on video saying to Meyer, "You know what you did. You helped wreck our program." This is when he was with Kelvin Sampson. Now, here's the problem I have with that. Okay, and I heard Colin Cowherd say, "I like natural emotion in the whole thing." Colin, why is he saying that? He just won the Big Ten championship. Aren't you happy? Why do you take a moment to then scream at the other guy? I mean, are you that vindictive in life? You just won. I mean, you had a Tiger Woods ball hang on the cup on the rim where you could read the rock going around and then fall off. I mean, he had to be restrained. Now, why does he need to be restrained? He just won the game. I mean, I can understand that maybe they lost the game, and then he gets in a heated discussion with the dude about, "You wrecked our program, blah, 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 you know, because I'm mad we lost." You just won. Aren't you euphoric?
It's great. We won. You wrecked our program.
Yeah, we won. Here's my chance. I'm going to give it to you for good.
That was a little unusual.
It was a great game yesterday. A little. It's like you and I winning an award and then looking at the other station and saying, "Yeah, you got it." You're awful. You wrecked our place. I mean, remember we talked, remember Dick from Milton call? He talked about how gracious the Penn State players were.
Right, right.
But, hey, Tommy C.
If you're going to do something like that, make sure the cameras aren't on when you do it, all right? That's sort of the place.
My point is, why do it?
I know.
Aren't you in a celebratory mood? Aren't you feeling happy? You just won the game. You just won. I mean, I got to admit, I'm confused. Now, he called, he apologized, you know. Michigan did not make Meyer available for comment, nor should they. And Meyer, by the way, was cleared of any wrongdoing by the NCAA. I just want people to understand that.
Obviously, some don't feel that way.
But he was at Marquette at the time. What is he, you know, this is Tom's fifth year. Okay, this is his fifth year at Indiana. Every player in the program is his kid. I mean, this is illogical on many different areas, and it just... I'm going to keep my comments restrained a little bit, but I'm just... Other than to say it's illogical. But I've seen a few illogical things this year. Beeline said Meyer's been critical to Michigan's program, helping to build the Michigan program brick by brick. Okay. We're wrapping up at the moment on News Radio 1070 WK. Okay.
I really need a used car.
Sunbury Motors has lots full of used cars.
But it has to be a good used car.
Well, they're not good.
What?
They're great. Sunbury Motors has over 300 used vehicles to choose from. Cars, SUVs, and trucks so good, we wouldn't sell them if we wouldn't drive them. That's probably why we consistently sell over 200 cars a month. And when it comes to new, Sunbury Motors is the largest Ford dealership in the Central Susquehanna Valley. Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices.
And I'm a smart shopper, and I know what the price should be for the car I want.
Well, here at Sunbury Motors, you get our lowest price promise. We research prices on used cars so much that if you find a better deal, we'll beat it. That's a promise. So here's your keys.
Thanks.
Take a test drive today at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and our Kia dealerships at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Shop 24/7 and see our inventory at sunburymotors.com. That's sunburymotors.com. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
When you buy insurance, it's serious business. Because if something happens and you don't have the right coverage, you're out of luck and maybe out of business. So if you need insurance, business, home, auto, or flood, Ask your agent about Selective. No gimmicks, just great coverage and great response.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
All right, so what is your rant of the day? I'm sure you worked on it all day.
No, I just have a really short rant, fortunately enough. Mark Sanchez reportedly, according to ESPN, will have a leg up in this year's race for the quarterback position, according to their report of what Marty Morningwig, the new offensive coordinator, had to say today to New York area reporters. All right, let's look at what's in camp right now officially, or what will be. At this moment, it's McElroy, Tebow, Sanchez. Doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out who the front runner is there. They've been in some discussions with some other quarterbacks, Garrard being one of them, Brady Quinn being another one in free agency. Again, doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out who the leader is. Here's the real problem. They really don't have a starting quarterback in that roster. It's time to start developing one or finding one or buying one. Because all the names you're mentioning are not going to help the Jets next year.
He has a leg up. I mean,
he should. He was the starter last year.
I mean, what the heck are they talking about leg up? He's the only guy that doesn't play quarterback.
That's what I said. I really don't understand the purpose for the story. But better yet, I don't understand why you wouldn't think he had a leg up. Matter of fact, Tebow has been shopped around already at the reportedly shopped around at the combines. Although I don't think they
no interest.
I was going to say, although I don't think anybody was overly interested.
Yepper. All right.
Says he doesn't want to be a wide receiver either. Hey, listen.
Really?
Get a paycheck in the NFL. Play anywhere they want you to play for that paycheck. That's my advice.
We'll talk to you tomorrow. Today's show is brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com.